you can hear me calling, because I'm calling you. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, to all the freedom-loving Christians, patriots, and, yeah, even all the rest of you. Welcome to another hour of The Flip Side. For this Friday night, the 16th of February, 2007, Jeff Bennett behind the mic again for tonight, as we wind this week down. It's been an interesting week. It's not been the best of weeks I've ever had, but then it's not been the worst of weeks either. Glad to have you here. By the way, before we get rolling with the program, the chat room is open. And one of my buddies in the chat room says New Orleans got clobbered again. His wife's niece had her roof torn off by a tornado. Marvelous. www.federalobserver.com. Come on and sign in the chat room and join us for an hour of lively conversation. Topic tonight, return to the heartland. Hope you're going to find it interesting. It is, to some degree, a little waltz through history, as it were. Something to think about, something to ponder. Maybe you've been considering relocating. Maybe you've been considering selling out from where you currently live and getting up and getting out of there. Well, maybe some of what we're going to share with you tonight will give you some ideas, where to go, what to do, what to start considering if it's not too late. Take a look at the weekend market reports. The S&P 500 closed down today to end the session at 1455. NASDAQ ended the week at 2,496 points. Dow Jones Industrial was up pretty lackluster, up about 2.5 points to end the day at 12,767. They're bound and determined to get 13,000 by sometime in March. And Lord knows, maybe they'll do it. And I guess I don't care because I know it's nothing but a numbers game anyway. As far as the metals are concerned today, kind of an interesting day. Silver wound up closing up 2 cents to end the day at $13.99. I got to be honest, that's pretty much exactly where it was 24 hours ago. Platinum ended the day at $1,209 an ounce. They say it was down $2. Well, that's not even an end. These are the aftermarket reports. Gold currently sitting at $669.30. Some profit-taking was going on this week, no two ways about it. And yet, taking a look at the Financial Times, they're saying gold is the place to be. Over the last 5 years, the price of gold has risen from $250 an ounce to around $670 an ounce. Strong demand coming from investors and consumers alike. Gold's price can be influenced by exchange rate fluctuations, geopolitical, blah, 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 and it goes on and on and on. I don't get too all excited about what it does on a day-to-day basis. It's the long haul I'm concerned about. If we can help you at republictradinggroup.com, or which, by the way, you can go to that site, but give us a call. Robbie Noel and I are always glad to counsel with you, answer some questions. 1-800-691-7898, and, you know, that kind of gets us through the first segment. Once again, though, do come on over to the chat room and join us. Some other folks have come in. His name's Gil in Germany is with us. I'm always glad to have some folks from out of the country join us. Boardman's in the room, Tear Hunter, Vongery. Anyway, we'll see who else joins us here shortly. www.federalobserver.com. Music's cranking. I'll see you on the flip side of this commercial break.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled
Thomas.
In the last 100 years. Unknown by most people.
Thank you.
Even Bible-reading Christians. Major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
My friends, to a Friday night edition of The Flip Side. I do extend some apologies. We thought we had our broadcast connection running tonight. About 30 minutes before airtime, it all of a sudden spit out and said it was using too much power in my USB. And I can't get it back up without shutting the computer down and recycling it. Not bad for a Friday night. Some good folks in the room. Boardman, Gil in Germany, James, Mosby Range, which I'm assuming is Mosby's Rangers. Terminus is in the room, and Nevada Ace, so I was glad to have him here. Simplox, Tear Hunter, Vongery, my good friend Warhawk, who's been a longtime friend. Glad to be here. www.federalobserver.com. I mentioned to you before the break, topic of tonight's program is, in effect, return to the heartland, or in the words of Gary North, works, this is, we're basing this program on tonight, the revival of Heartland America. It is, as I mentioned before the break, a little bit of a history lesson. It is also something to think about for those of us who may be considering a relocation. I found some interesting things in here and thought you might enjoy it. Gary North starts out by saying, keep in mind, over the last several months, we've been talking in depth about the real estate market around the country. He starts out by saying the greatest real estate deal in man's recorded history was the sell-off of the Louisiana Purchase by the U.S. government beginning after the War of 1812 ended in 1815, when the Mississippi River's outlet into the Gulf through New Orleans was assured. For about $1.25 an acre, immigrants could buy land. They didn't even have to pay cash. Most of that land was fertile. Transportation costs were low and then got lower. The Mississippi River, the Great Lakes, Erie Canal, and finally the most revolutionary invention of the 19th century, the steam railroad, converted 800,000 square miles of raw land into high value, mostly family-owned capital. Thomas Jefferson thought it would take centuries to fill the American heartland. It took less than 100 years. Politically, this shift was reflected in the substitution of Ohio for Virginia as the home state of presidents. What had been the old Northwest in 1787 became the center of the country by 1887. Nevertheless, New York City's financial dominance and New England's educational dominance produced a coastal view of America. The communication system, the roadways, and the movies added California to the East Coast cultural dominance. Oh, yes, the movies, that's right. Because Hollywood, even then, the purse strings were located in New York, not in California. Oh, the movies were made in California, but the purse strings, oy vey, were controlled out of New York. Go figure. And so the accent of California remains the Ohio accent. This is also true of the movies and television. With the steady decline of the number of people employed in manufacturing after 1950, the Midwest lost its economic clout. This decline included the political clout of the industrial trade unions. The Steel Belt became the Rust Belt. The Heartland lost the best and the brightest to the coasts. This was a crucial factor in the comparative decline of the region. Brains moved east or west, where there seemed to be greater opportunities. Yet today, my friends, this process has begun to reverse. The establishment media, being coastal, however, have chosen to ignore it. But meanwhile, the South has become integrated economically into the Heartland. Air conditioning and the low political power of trade unions in the South combined to make the region acceptable to entrepreneurial immigrants from above the Mason-Dixon line. And then, of course, came national retail chains after 1970. Oh, yeah, we had Sears and we had Monkey Ward's and a few like that, but Monkey Ward's is gone and Sears is now a part of Kmart or the other way around. You know, you can't really tell where you're on Main Street anymore in this country, because my friends from town to town, they all frankly look alike. America's homogenized culture has overwhelmed every region. And this has reduced the culture shock of a move into or out of a region. One major barrier remains, however. The cost of real estate. As in 1850, Heartland America has the edge. Heartland America, even to this day, has the lowest cost prime real estate on earth. Prime urban real estate around the world is now beyond the reach of the next generation of homeowners. Government subsidies to the real estate market in the form of loan guarantees and central bank inflation have combined to create demand for urban real estate. The world's largest cities, anything that we would regard as comfortable middle-class living, can no longer be purchased by members of the middle class who do not already own real estate to sell to first-time buyers. And that, my friends, is a big problem. You see, the Heartland is not where most people have preferred to live. Cold weather and a more traditional lifestyle for 8 decades failed to attract the best and the brightest, and the up-and-coming urban professionals moved to the coasts. They moved to New York. They moved to California. They moved to Virginia Beach. They moved to Fort Lauderdale. The coastal regions filled up with opportunity seekers. They bid up the price of real estate after 1960. Today, their grandchildren are locked out of the housing markets. Our grandchildren are locked out of the housing markets. Grandchildren hell. My 23 and 28-year-old children are pretty much locked out of the housing markets. The U.S. government, after 1960, responded politically to that age-old desire to own your own home. The government subsidized the creation of low-down payment mortgages. And this enabled home buyers after 1950 to lock in on 30-year mortgages, which they paid off. But now they're selling to latecomers. And the effect on housing prices of government-insured lending institutions that issue mortgages is analogous to the effect of Medicare on health care prices. It's upward. First-time buyers are becoming debtors to the tune of $500,000 to $750,000 in places like Boston, Southern California. They're locked into 30-year mortgages for the rest of their lives. They will pay 40% of their after-tax income to buy their homes. 30-year mortgages? I know of some 40-year mortgages now, and I'm told there's some out there that are being offered that are even longer than that. Ladies and gentlemen, family by family, our children will either move out of the region or they're going to find themselves strapped with lifelong debt. Forced to live as dual or dual income status for the rest of their lives. This is good news for entrepreneurs who own profit-seeking daycares. For everyone else, it isn't. You see, whenever there is a recession, thousands of these debt burdened homeowners will be forced to abandon their homes. You know, I read a piece yesterday that, and I can't remember, it doesn't matter because the numbers were so insane. 1,000 foreclosures a month in some states? I was getting an oil change on my car this morning, and I was reading some investor magazine that dealt strictly with real estate. And what they're doing to get people to invest in commercial pieces of real estate. They'll take lots of $7,000 investments from a lot of different people. All of these things seem to come out of the woodworks when we get in trouble. Where were those options available to me 4 years ago before we had this massive spike in real estate values in Arizona or Florida or Texas or anywhere else? Oh, yeah. For those of you living in Texas, we're not ignoring you. Because we're going to get around to you talking about you tonight, too. Whenever there is a recession, thousands of debt-burdened homeowners are going to be forced to abandon their homes. Your credit ratings are going to suffer. You may be in debt for $100,000 or more after your home is sold out from under you to foreclosure. Oh, you still owe the difference. And bankruptcy is going to become your only option, but then they took care of that and modified that a couple of years ago, didn't they? Gary North's son, Scott, recently moved to Southern California. He and two others rent a three-bedroom townhouse for $2,100 a month. And he says because of the high price of owning a home, rentals stay on the market for only a few hours. You need to call to rent as soon as you see an ad. You almost have to take it sight unseen. Newcomers in the under 30 age bracket who don't earn $60,000 a year are locked out of homeowners. Yep. That makes the two-income family a necessity in most cases. Single-income families a thing of the past in the housing bubble regions, my friends. Now, when we return on the flip side of this commercial break, we're going to continue with tonight's diatribe, Return to the Heartland. I'll stick around. I'll be with you in a few minutes.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Something inside of me is taking a hold each day. Something inside of me is making me feel this way whenever you're near me. You've got me thinking.
Welcome back, my friends, to the flip side. Jeff Bennett behind the mic tonight. And we've got some apparently some issues going on. Thomas, if you're listening to any of this, some of the folks in the chat room are saying that the sound through the Internet has completely been dropped as far as the audio stream is concerned. So, hey, you know, what can you do? Don't know. One guy says, they're a live chat where you all hang out because I'm getting tired of being in chat rooms with folks who don't have a clue. Well, Lystra, you know, I'm not quite sure what you mean by having a clue, but you'll find most of the folks in this chat room do, in fact, have a clue. It just depends on where you're coming from. Talking tonight about Gary North's commentary about it's spiking. Okay. All right, no problem. What we're hearing is that real estate has become so outrageous in certain parts of the country, East Coast, West Coast, certainly things in Nevada, out here where I live in the Phoenix, Arizona area, it has been absolutely insane. And Gary North's premise is that there are people who are beginning to return once again to the heartland, the middle part of the country, certainly more affordable. He says his daughter bought a 2,100-square-foot home in Nashville for about $170,000. Decent-sized backyard. In a comparable neighborhood in Southern California, that house would sell for about $750,000. He said the difference in price is not based on regional income levels. People in Nashville don't earn a third to a quarter of what people in Southern California do. The difference has to do with the concentration of population. People are paying heavily for weather and lifestyle, but the warm weather and lifestyle are now overwhelmingly based on massive lifetime debt. High taxes, extensive government regulations, specifically in California, New York, and even Massachusetts, are steadily reducing the level of economic opportunity. Nevada is booming. The escape hatch from the tightening grip of government across the border. There is no income tax in Nevada, by the way. New Hampshire serves the same function for people who want to escape the People's Republic of Massachusetts. No income tax, no sales tax. We know from the real estate mania on the coast that with respect to property values, there is a lot of upward potential in the heartland. People are willing to indebt themselves in every region, but no longer is the old 25% of income rule operational. And yet Heartland Real Estate is still obtainable by honoring that old rule. The difference is the decentralization of population in the Heartland. The distribution of population is much greater. The price of land has not been bid up to such a degree, not right now anyway. Now telecommunications are allowing residents of the Heartland to make incomes comparable to those on the coast. This is creating economic opportunities for young families. Women can work from home. Husbands can earn higher salaries. Entrepreneurs can hire well-educated locals and recent immigrants from the coasts. What took place in Austin, Texas between 1985 and 1995 is indicative of what can happen in a decade. From an oil economy bust to a digital economy boom, the upward pressure of population is relentless, my friends. There's over 300 million people now living in the United States. And before 2050, you can expect that to be 400 million. If these newcomers want to own their own homes, they will have to find less expensive places to live in Texas rather than California or Phoenix. Please leave Phoenix. Young people are going to want to own their own homes. It's not going to change anytime too soon. They're going to move to regions where they can afford to buy a home. They've been doing this since approximately 1640, my friends. As American families grew smaller after 1957, the links to existing regions grew weaker. For a century, people moved to Southern California, just as they had moved to New York City before. Their children did not move away from the parents and siblings, but now they must leave family behind if they want to own their own homes. And what is my son talking about doing? Moving to San Francisco, as if he can afford anything there. Amazing grace. The price of entry-level housing in Southern California is now limited to Hispanics who are willing to put more than the immediate family into the same home and share mortgage costs. Oh, and also to highly successful two-income families, especially Asians. If you don't understand this, spend 10 minutes at a website called Realtor.com, R-E-A-L-T-O-R.com. Look up any zip code in Southern California. Start with Anaheim, 92802. 1950, before Disneyland was built, it was mostly orange trees. And then after Disneyland, it began with homes in the $400,000 range now. Check the square footage. Probably 900 to 1,000 square feet if you're lucky. One of the most astute commentators on this major demographic shift is Joel Kotkin. And when we come back, we'll talk briefly about Kotkin in his recent article, The American Interest. He describes Aurora, Nebraska, population of 4,500. When we come back, we're going to talk about Aurora, Nebraska. Stay with me. I'll see you on the flip side of this commercial break, huh?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. To order, write Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back, my friends. You know, this is a very interesting lesson tonight. We've got not a bad group of folks in the chat room for a Friday night. The frustrating thing is, apparently, at least as relates to the internet stream, it's fading in and out. We don't know if there's a large amount of people who are trying to block it, prevent people from listening, or what's going on. We got some of the folks that have reverted back to shortwave as the old backup. And I got to tell you something. I know John has an ad that he runs here for the Cato. I got to tell you something, folks. You may well wake up one morning and find out that the alternative media, as you know it, via satellite and the internet, is being blocked. Shortwave is a great backup. I think shortwave is something that everybody needs to own just in case. Case of what? If I have to answer that one for you, folks, then we're nowhere. You don't own a shortwave, it's not a bad idea to pick one up and have it as a backup for any kind of difficulty that may be crammed down our throats here in the future. Let's return to our commentary from Gary North, talking about a return to the heartland. Before the break, we began to talk about a place called Aurora, Nebraska. Aurora, Nebraska has a population of 4,500 people. Now, I've got some good friends who live in Montana, others who live in Wyoming. Interestingly enough, we talked a little bit about those two states last night. They are going to experience the greatest increase of incarcerated individuals within their prison systems over the next 5 years of any other state. Now, why is that? Is it because they are freer thinking people? They're more active within their communities than many of you are? Wouldn't surprise me in the least. Got a good friend who's fixing to move to North Dakota. They've had it. They want to get away from the insanity of stupid people, lazy people, gutless people. These folks are in a position to stand on their own 2 feet, to care for themselves, and that's the way they want it. They want to be left alone. And that's all most of us are looking for. back to Aurora, Nebraska. With Aurora's neat town square and red brick civic buildings, it suggests a reflection of America's bucolic past. And yet it may also represent a bleak looking glass glimpse into America's future. The first half of the 21st century, as the nation grows from 300 to 400 million people, Aurora and other places in the American heartland will provide a critical outlet for the restless energies and entrepreneurial passions of its people. Think about an article written by America's most detailed conscious social observer, Tom Wolfe. He wrote once on the origin of Silicon Valley. The pioneer was Robert Noyce of Intel, who grew up in Grinnell, Iowa. Noyce brought the Protestant ethic of his youth and his college years to Silicon Valley. They were in their teens. Noyce and his brothers made their pocket money by mowing lawns, raking leaves, babysitting. I did the same thing. Added shoveled snow onto that deal. In Grinnell, that was socially correct behavior. To have devoted the same time to taking tennis, golf, or riding lessons would have been regarded as a gaffe of the genus conspicuous indolence. There was no country club in Grinnell, Iowa, or anything approaching one. Wolf's main point was that in the Midwest, engineering was respected. This was not the case back east, where pure science and the humanities were fashionable. This was an aspect of European snobbery, Wolf said. And as a result, the way to today's information superhighway, more recently known as the digital revolution, was paved entirely by geniuses from the Midwest and farther west. The inventor of the light bulb, which started it all, was one Thomas Alva Edison from Port Huron, Michigan, and the inventor of the vacuum tube, which made possible the development of the high-speed electronic computer, was Lee DeForest from Council Bluffs, Iowa. And the three engineers at Bell Laboratories were John Bardeen from Madison, Wisconsin, Walter Brattain from Seattle, Washington, and William Shockley from Palo Alto, California. The chief of the fabled Bell Labs in those palmy days was one Oliver Buckley from Sloan, Iowa. The two inventors of the integrated circuit or the microchip, the very heart of the revolution, were first Jack Kilby from Jefferson City, Missouri, whose chip was made of germanium. And 6 months later, Noyce, whose chip was made of silicon and became the standard for the industry and gave the Silicon Valley its name. Wolf is wise enough to know that Asians are pioneers in engineering in Silicon Valley. They're from way back east, whose outlook was more Iowa than Massachusetts. But the cultural atmosphere created by Noyce and his team made their entry into the ranks of the creative engineers far easier. The brains moved to the coasts, especially California, after World War II. This process is now reversing. The brains are beginning to move back to Omaha and Lincoln. Low electrical costs, access to Interstate 80 to Omaha and Lincoln, excellent high-speed telecommunications all make Aurora, Nebraska a desirable location for several growing businesses. And so, too, does a reliable, literate, and highly trainable workforce. Unemployment currently in Aurora barely exists, but the biggest problem, as in many other places in the heartland, is finding new workers. Can you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? There's actually a city in this country that's having a difficult time finding new workers. And it doesn't sound to me like illegal aliens are going to fit the bill. But the establishment media doesn't perceive what's happening. It's not surprising. You see, the establishment media are located where? On the coasts. Most media coverage portrays a kind of Mad Max environment, a desiccated, postmodern, lost world of emptying towns, meth labs, and militant Native Americans. One of the guys in the room says, Lazy Donkey says, Nebraska, if you don't mind living on a piece of plywood. I'm not sure that I disagree with you there. I'd rather live in the rolling hills of Wisconsin, where I grew up and have some lakes to fish in and can go out and hunt some squirrel or beaver or deer, all that good stuff. And I guess Nebraska, you got cornfields or something like that. Yeah, good place for pheasant. All of these things. 2006, the New York Times had an article describing North Dakota is not far from forsaken. Its imagery was of irresistible decline, dying towns, aging populations, a place for the curious Easterner to visit now before it all blows away. Well, my friend, I know you're planning on leaving Sunday for North Dakota. Godspeed, and I envy you. You see, if there is anything positive about the kind of accounts I've just shared with you, it lies in the hope that much of the country between Mississippi and the Rockies might end up as a giant enviro playground, subsidized by environmentalists such as Jane Fonda's ex-husband. Of course, that image is mostly bunk, according to Mr. Kotkin. Restoring the natural environment where possible is no doubt a good thing. But many places in this vast swath of a country are also rebounding in terms of jobs and population and income, in many cases more so than parts of urban coastal America. Take Fargo, North Dakota. It's grown by more than 20% between 1990 and 2000. Scores of other heartland towns and cities, Sioux Falls, Des Moines, Bismarck, among others, have seen similar expansions. But oh no, all you hear about is the growth in Las Vegas, Phoenix, San Diego. All of this is referred to as micropolitan growth, where most of the growth is nationally. And it's reasonable. Anything large reaches its limits to growth. The rate of growth slows. As we look at the fastest job growth in the country, micropolitan areas are fairly dominant. Of the 393 fastest-growing regions of the country, 15 of the top 20 were micropolitan, not metropolitan, but micropolitan areas. Why, only one, the sprawling city of Las Vegas, Nevada, ranked among the fastest job-growing metropolitan cities in the country. Beginning in the 1970s, migration reversed. Of course, it's received little attention. And it's all accelerated since 1990. A decade ago, Fargo was a classic backwater. And after the release of the movie, something of a national joke, a critical shift occurred in the late 1980s when Doug Burgum, a local boy from nearby Arthur, moved back home from Chicago to join a fledgling local startup called Great Plains Software. Burgum recognized the area's considerable engineering expertise, both from North Dakota State U, that's university, and a large and expanding specialty farm equipment industry, and he anticipated growth. And the success of Great Plains Software sparked other startups in fields ranging from biotechnology to wireless networking to radio frequency identification systems. Today, extrapolating from recent National Science Foundation data, North Dakota has one of the highest rates of high-tech startups in the nation. The Fargo area is the undisputed epicenter. This area is also luring businesses from the coast, and now I know why Wayne lives where he lives. Good evening, Carol. Say hi to Bill for me. If it's the Carol, I think it is. The success of Great Plains Software has sparked other startups. Isn't that something? A big part of this shift has to do with lifestyle. Gary North talks about when he decided in 1959 to leave Manhattan Beach, California, what was to become the consummate epicenter of Southern California's real estate boom. He shook the sand off his feet. But he now finds it's all widespread. He wanted out of that lifestyle. And so even now in the new, hipper Fargo, the real driver of success remains a set of something we used to call values, my friends. Self-reliance, community spirit, a dedication to family and faith, that have long been at the center of the Heartland ethos. After all, along with its finer dining and hip bars, Fargo has a microscopic crime rate compared to any major coastal city and little in the way of an underclass. It's below the crime rate of any major coastal city, and they have very little in the way of an underclass. As in Aurora, Nebraska, local charities thrive and community involvement is the norm. Characteristics of the main draw, particularly to relocating 30-somethings. That notes Mike Chambers, founder of the fast-growing biotech firm Aldevron. It's an experience common to many companies in this buckle of the brain belt. Where do you go to find people who want out or went out and came back? We constantly get resumes from people at Boeing in Seattle or somewhere else. They don't come for the mountains of the sunshine of the culture. They come back because of the kind of people who are here. And isn't that so much what you've been looking for? Or do you still want the mountains and the trees and the streams and the criminality and the crime and the illegals? These kind of shifts have religious overtones and implications, my friends. Americans are leaving the do-your-own-thing morally in exchange for do more of your own thing entrepreneurially. That's a nasty word to say. These words come from Howard Dahl, CEO of Fargo, North Dakota-based Amity Technologies, a fast-growing agriculture machinery firm and former head of the local arts council. Dahl is a former Lutheran seminarian, says religion also plays a major role, but not in the loud, assertive tones one might find in Houston or Dallas. Religion and family play a huge role in everything, but it's quiet. It's people's sense of ethics. It's that you care about your community and can count on your neighbors. What Robert Nisbet identified as the quest for community back in 1953 is still in process. In the heartland of America. Such values, Aurora's Gary Allen believes, are the real secret behind the nascent heartland resurgence. In a town of barely 4,500, there's more than 30 nonprofit foundations with assets in excess of $45 million. It's all part, notes Gary Ware, of a community spirit reflected in the city's extensive recreation facilities, its well-maintained central square and library and senior center and museum. Community building is a way of life here, Warren offers. You give to your community the way you give to your church on Sunday. It's the essence of what it is to live here, and it's why people decide they want to come here. For young families, the Heartland once again offers opportunities. The weather will not get any better, but technology can overcome the worst aspects of weather. Air conditioning in the Heartland South and heating oil in the Heartland North. Gary North says he prefers the South to the North. The fuel costs may reinforce this preference over the next few decades, he says. For retirees, the Heartland is better. People move to Asheville, North Carolina. Not to Los Angeles to retire. For startup entrepreneurs, the Heartland is better. Locate a university with a good engineering department and move there. College Station, Texas is one place that Gary North recommends, and so does Auburn, Alabama. For young families that don't want to spend their lives as mortgage serfs, the Heartland is better. The South will rise again. It just won't be the South. You see, the South is gone. But the wind. You think I'm wrong? Let me know the next time you see an all-white backfield at the University of Alabama. Interesting commentary from Gary North. Stay with me, my friends. I'll be back in a few moments for some closing thoughts and comments for the week on the flip side of this commercial break. We'll be right back.
suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Welcome back for the final moments of the Flip Side, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for staying with us tonight. I understand we've had some technical difficulties out there. The chat room has stayed very, very full. Some folks, even when they couldn't hear, others who switched over to their, they got off the computers, they switched on their Class C satellite dishes, some went over to KU band, I don't know, one from another, some flipped out and brought their shortwaves out. I guess that tells me that some of the things we try to share with you here on this program and on other programs at RBN are important enough to many of you listeners that you will do what you have to do to be able to tune in. We certainly thank you for that. Coming up next week, Robbie and I do the flip-flop again. Robbie will be in behind the mic Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of next week. I will have Tuesday and Thursday. Our goal is to alternate. One week we have that schedule. The following week we do the other schedule, and I take 3 days. He does, too. Last night's guest, Bill O'Brien, got to the office last night and was bombarded with some late-breaking new stuff that you're going to want to hear. He'll be joining me again next Thursday evening to share with us this updated information that he's been hit with regarding the prison systems in America. So I hope you'll join us. And, hey, hope you have a decent weekend. Monday's President's Day, for whatever that means. There's not too many of them that I wish to pay homage to. And, Al, I'll let you make your own determinations who your favorites are. Get ready to hit the road tonight. I've got to leave town for a couple days. Again, this is family business this time. And but don't worry, we'll be here. Robbie, like I say, I'll be back Monday. Thanks for being here with us. I don't even know where I'm at time-wise. In front of a clock. Keep watch on what's going on. A lot of major topics coming up that we've got to watch very carefully. The real ID is something they're going to try to cram down our throat throughout the course of this year and next. We've got 400 lobbyists marching on Washington, screaming, demanding that amnesty be given to all the illegals that are in this country and to actually force us to open up and accept more of them. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think that this country has not been sold out, if you think that you and your family haven't been sold out, then you must have been shacking up with Rip Van Winkle for the last four decades. It's time to wake up. Get involved within your community, and if you don't like what's there, maybe you ought to take a look at a return to the heartland. Frankly, it's where I'd rather be. I'm tired of living here, right in the path of the illegal invasion. Anyway, that's just about going to do it for us this weekend. I guess I got about 45 seconds I got to burn up, unless Thomas wants to crank some music up early tonight, which wouldn't bother me one bit. Thanks to all of you that were in the chat room. We've had a real good full crew in here tonight. You guys take care of yourselves. I'll see you on the flip side next week. And you know what, folks? Spend some time with your families this weekend, will you? And I don't just mean down the fishing hole, although if that makes you happy, get it on. Down on your knees, say a little prayer. Ask for a little thanks. Ask for a little forgiveness. And, hey, Lord willing, I'll see you next week. Until that time, on behalf of RBN, Robbie Noel, and myself, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.